Welcome to the second season of Goals Do Come True, the show that takes a deep dive into the systems and processes that help turn your business goals into reality. Hosted by me, Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. If you like what you hear today, please remember to share the love by liking, sharing, and reviewing the show. It helps spread the word to others looking for help with their goals. Anyway, let's crack on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I am joined by Rita Ernst. She is a positivity influencer. She likes to ignite positivity at work to improve people's performance, to improve the culture and the well-being. She's also an author of Show Up Positive, and I like fellow authors because that demonstrates a degree of commitment to our craft, to our love of the things that we do. If we're going to take the time to put it into a book, then it's got to be pretty special for us. So Rita's done that. We'll make sure that the information about our book is contained in the show notes so that if you gel, you'll be able to go off and buy yourself a copy and see if it's your thing. But anyway, Rita, thank you very much for joining me from across the pond. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, how goals fit into your life. Over to you.
Well, thank you for having me, Doug, and for introducing me to your audience. I like your podcast. I've enjoyed listening to some back episodes and getting familiar with you and your conversations. And I think goals are very important. I'm an organizational psychologist. I live in Louisville, Kentucky currently. It's the longest I've lived anywhere. So I kind of call it my hometown right now because that sort of feels that way. However, I know from psychology that goals that are motivating, when we have purpose and intention, we are more motivated. And when we write and speak things, we activate more areas of our brain, which means that then we take more ownership about those things. So not just thinking about goals. A colleague of mine says that you process 40,000 words a minute when you're thinking.
Wow.
So when we think, our thoughts just sort of race and things flash by. But when we speak, we can only speak at about 400. You know, the processing slows down, right?
About
400 thoughts. And so in a minute, and it's sometimes even smaller than that, depending on how your brain works. So you really slow yourself down and really get yourself ingratiated into your ideas when you start to verbalize. And the same thing can happen when you're writing. You're slowing your mind down. In fact, I find, and I don't know how you feel about this as an author, but writing is a much longer process for me than speaking. I can speak my thoughts and sort of roll along with them a lot faster than I can translate them on to paper. And so that is why it's so important to do what you're talking about writing things down and to be in conversation with other people like you about the kind of goals that we have.
Do you know what? I knew that there was a scientific reason why this all worked for me, and you've just explained it so well. So thank you for that.
Because you're very welcome.
It's nice to have this stuff that you stumble upon, you know, because again, I'm listening to a cassette tape. That's how far back it goes, about setting goals and writing them down on a day by day basis and not referring to the ones that you'd written down the day before. Over time, it's made a tremendous difference to me, which is why I'm so excited about the podcast and having guests back it up and just say, look, you know, there's a science to this. So, you know, pick it up, have your goals, write them down. That seems very, very important. So thank you for that.
Well, can I just share an observation? Somebody who spent a lot of time in corporate America, I think that goals are sometimes discounted in our minds. And I think we discount it because we go through this goal setting process in business that feels very mechanical. Mm-hmm. We're putting things on paper to satisfy somebody else. It's not so focused on satisfying ourselves. But when we set goals that are really around our drive and our the things that matter to us, when we can connect our personal meaning into things. So when we have conversations with children about going to college and we help them visualize what going to college would look like and what it would mean and help them sort of stand in that future vision, that goal becomes more real for them. But if we just say, well, everybody should go to college, you know, there are children that have no relationship to what that means.
Yeah.
They can't feel it. They can't own it. And that's what we do to people at work. We transfer these goals from the top of the organization, the strategic plan, down to every worker, but we don't really have connectivity. And I think the essence of what you really talk about is this connectivity that is present in order for goals to be real motivating drivers in your life.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. That's very good. And they're thrust upon us as well in corporate.
Yes.
And it's somebody else's instruction. And so it makes it very, very difficult to buy into it unless you're in the sales role and you're going to directly benefit from, you know, hitting your targets and hitting your goals within that. But I think for everybody else, I think, you know, it is important to have those personal things that are outside just pure and simple work. So I appreciate that. Yeah, it's good. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you have any big, hairy, audacious goals that you've worked on, achieved, or are working on at the moment that you're prepared to share with us? Obviously, because some big, hairy, audacious goals are a bit private to people.
I am in the middle of a big, hairy, audacious goal that has to do, my book was released on June the 14th. So it is still a baby. And I have a small independent publisher that I worked with to publish the book. So I don't have a big house that's behind me that's doing the PR campaign and all of those things. I don't have celebrities that I know that are endorsing my book. So it is a grassroots movement to get Show Up Positive out. And I am just leaning into that big, hairy, audacious goal of having a million people discover and connect with my book in the Show Up Positive movement. Because the whole intention of the book is to activate people to take back their workplace and take back their workplace culture and turn their workplaces into the vibrant communities they want to be working in. To stop settling for anything less than that, but not jumping from community to community. You know, the grass always looks greener somewhere else, but wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
So until you start working on how you are going to be a contributor to that, I say in the book, all of us are architects of the culture. This idea that culture comes from the top of the organization and we are just recipients is wrong.
Yeah.
Because culture at its core comes down to the day-to-day experiences that we have with our coworkers.
Yeah.
And that's why we have what I call small C microcultures in departments and in teams, as opposed to maybe the overall reputation or culture of a company at large, because it's about the experiences that you can create. You can work for a horrible company, but work in an amazing team that you love.
Yeah.
And are completely fulfilled in because the culture is your experience day to day. And you are a contributor. Nobody gets to be Switzerland. Nobody gets to say, you know, I don't choose a side. When you aren't actively trying to create something, you are giving your consent to what is.
Yes. Yes. I like that as well. You know, because you start by department, by department, by department, then it will gradually permeate through the whole organization. The thing about the grass being greener in other places, they just tend to use a different manure over there, you know? That's something I've always found.
Very, very true.
We want to get this out there to a million people. That's a big goal. That's a big, hairy, audacious goal. Now, you write things down. You know, we've alluded to that. That's important. Do you journal or is it just a list or do you use an app? How do you do this stuff?
I use an app on my phone that is sort of intended to be like a task list kind of thing, but it works for me. It's the place. And the other thing that I do is I go public. So I have an email list, which any of your listeners are welcome to join. You can do that from my website. It is a small list. I am not about the numbers of people. If I have 100 people and I have a 70% open rate, I have an awesome list. So it's not about distributing to thousands. Mm-hmm. It's about speaking with and to a group of people who are interested in the topics that I'm talking about, which happened to be about showing up positive in the workplace. So that list, that group of people, I tell them my goals. So I, you know, I said, I want to get this book into a million hands and I need your help. Like I need you to recommend it to others. I need you to write reviews. And here are the things I'm going to do. I'm going to start showing up on podcasts. I'm looking to do X number of podcasts per month. If you have ones that you love to listen to, let me know what they are. I'm going to write articles in nationally syndicated publications. And if you have connections or you know someone or there's a topic that you would like me to write about, converse with me. Let me know what those things are. So I put those goals, the things that I think will add up to getting the opportunity, the visibility, because I, you know, I just keep saying I'm in an awareness building campaign.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
No, so I'm
with you.
I sort of have that big goal. And then I have like the little micro steps. But I find when I say those things out loud and then I say them to my tribe, not only do I have the opportunity to really get the help that I might need to achieve that, but then I'm more conscious because I've spoken those out loud.
Yeah. And you're accountable.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And if you're held accountable for your goals, because you've shared them with somebody that's positive, and I like the fact that you share it with your tribe, and we all like to have a tribe. I'm developing my tribe. Yeah, I like that. I like that because you need the support to achieve all of these things. And it is quite simple to just ask for it as well. You know, if you've generated goodwill along the way with everything that you've done already, then there is the almost obligation to help you out. So I like that. I can see the need for me to develop some of that. So thank you. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Okay. So we've got an app that we use to get them. We've got the big, hairy, audacious goal. So that's cool. What other things do people need? You know, because we talk about the psychology of it. What other good things can people do to achieve their goals?
Well, there are three essential things that must be available to us psychologically in order for us to feel motivated to move things forward, especially in structures where we are dependent upon other people. And those three things are, we have to have autonomy, which is freedom to operate in ways that make sense to us, right? So we talked about this earlier. When you get this goal handed to you that you have no real connection with at work, right? You lose some autonomy in that, which is why so many of the performance, and I built these systems back in my days in corporate America, but why the performance management systems are built so that people write their own goals. It is really not meant to torture you. It's really not meant that way, although it feels that way sometimes. Yeah. Can you just tell me the answer and I'll write it down, right?
Which
means that you don't understand the strategy. There is a missing conversation that needs to happen there for you to really have that connection. But once you understand the context of your job and what collectively you're supposed to be contributing, then you want the freedom to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so writing your own goals, you know, you have to have that freedom. The second thing that you have to have is a feeling of competence, that you have the skills and the experience and the knowledge necessary to make that contribution. If you ask somebody to take on a goal that they're not prepared to do and you're not prepared to give them the support they need, they feel set up for failure. And so they're going to withdraw. They're not going to participate as much. So there are some of us who are like, oh, nothing's keeping me down. I'm one of those people like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to make it happen. And we'll take initiative to get what they need. But, you know, part of the quiet quitting conversation is people sort of get tired of having to bootstrap it themselves.
Yeah.
because they don't get any appreciation for leveling up.
Yeah.
It goes unseen.
Yeah. Hello, I hope you don't mind me interrupting this episode. Just wanted to tell you about one of my other businesses, which is DB Wealth Planning and Preservation. We do cash flow modeling, lifestyle financial planning, and wills and trusts. So if that's something that's on your agenda, if you want to see what your future looks like well ahead of the game, then pop over to my website, dbwpp.co.uk, and we'll help you create your future and protect your assets. So that's dbwpp.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
Right.
It doesn't take much, actually, to demonstrate and show appreciation. It's, you know,
Surprisingly little, right?
Surprisingly little. But my team just occasionally get a nice chocolate bar, you know, but it's a good quality one, and it's not the same time every month, but, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, it's like, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you very much. And it's like, you can see them lifting. It's just crazy. And it is so simple.
Well, you're naming number three. So the number three thing is relatedness, which is this connection to the people around you. And that connection comes from this exchange, right?
Yes.
Of respect and appreciation and other things. And so I go, well, let me just like double down on what you just said. There is an activity in my show of positive workshops that I do over and over and over again, where people write notes of gratitude. I give them index cards and I said, think of three people and write each of them a note on one of your index cards. And then we sit in small groups and we go around the circle and you read it out loud, you know, for the other people in the group to hear. And then when the debrief, when we talk about, you know, what comes up for you in this exercise, there are certain themes that people always say. And one is how easy it is to find something to really thank or appreciate someone for. Two is the personal positivity bump you get
yourself
when you go back into that moment and you relive what you received.
Mm-hmm.
You feel so good. It mm-hmm. makes you feel so good to do that. And then hearing the words out loud is just like this resonating bell in people's heads, you know, that's just like, so it's a very attractive proposition. And I encourage my clients to make it a regular practice. You know, I have clients that just have sticky notes and stuff sitting around where, you know, you're encouraged every day to grab a sticky note and write some note and hand it off to somebody. It might be, Doug, thank you for making me chuckle this morning when we got on this call, because it just started my day off right and I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Right? It could be, it doesn't have to be some monumental thing. We tend to turn things into this idea, right? And we do that with goals too. You asked me about the big, hairy, audacious goal, and it's important to have some of those, but the little micro goals can be just as powerful and just as important. If your goal is every day to lift somebody or leave them better than you found them, that's not a big, hairy, audacious goal, but it is just as impactful as achieving one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm a big believer in, and I had an experience. I was in a bar. I was walking through the bar and this waitress just let out a sigh. So I just stopped and I said, oh, you know, are you having a tough day? Oh, yeah, I'm on a double shift. I said, well, look, you know, you're doing an amazing job. Look how, you know, tidy everything is around here. Doing a great job. And thank you. And then I went on my way. And then later that evening, wasn't the hotel I was staying in. I didn't have any cash. They weren't taking cards. So you had to put it on your room. And I wanted a drink, right? Well, the same waitress was there. And she remembered me from earlier, and I had the biggest, you know, glass of red wine that was possible to actually, there was no way there was any more wine going in the glass, complimentary from her. And it's like,
lovely.
Well, you know, I didn't do it with that expectation, but you know, it is what goes around comes around in that respect. It's like, and it's not hard to be nice.
It is not hard to be nice. And, you know, I think, and this is the whole reason I wrote the book, what the pandemic did is it amplified all the discontent in every little area of our lives. And it magnified that until it became this roar that just took over our lives. And I think a lot of the discontent that people recognized in themselves was that they were not getting the affirmation and the acknowledgement and the appreciation that they really needed.
Yeah.
And they were so busy on the hamster wheel, just running, making the day to day, that they didn't really allow that to sink in. But once they went home and they settled in and they disconnected and things really slowed down, that really weighed on people. And I just heard a recent interview with Melissa McCarthy, and she was talking about this, you know, the comedian. Yeah. And she was like, I just randomly yell out at people now, you're killing it. You're doing a great job. And she's, you know, and
the way she is, you would love that.
You can see that the way she is. But that idea of just saying to a mom, you're an awesome mom. You're doing a great job raising those kids.
Yeah.
You never know how that could change somebody's world, how much they might need to hear that.
Just at that point.
Just a little tiny thing like that. Like, what does it cost you? You know, the whole idea of show up positive is this idea of creating the world around you that you want by showing up as the person you want somebody else to be to you. You know, it's that whole treat others the way you want to be treated. You mm-hmm. know, you start the ripple.
Yes. Yes.
And let the, you started the ripple with that waitress by just acknowledging her as a human being, not talking to her as a server.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see people in context and in roles, and we often then shift the way that we engage from this place of professional identity that excludes at times, especially in service positions. You know, people, the housekeeper in your hotel room, the cabin steward on the airplane, you know, that excludes them in some ways from humanity.
Yeah, that's crazy. It never happens in my life. The positivity thing is, I just love it. You know, how are you today? Well, I woke up this morning. I mean, that's a great start to the day, denied to so many people, sadly, you know. So what's not to love about today? Because I'm awake. Jack Canfield, E plus R equals O, event plus reaction equals outcome. Events happen all the time. You can, yes. The only thing you can control is your reaction to something. And if you can think about it for a second and try and have a positive reaction to something, the outcome is going to end up positive. So try and do that a little bit more as a higher percentage of your day, and you end up having a magnificent day.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, my book is written in two parts. So I broke all the rules. I'll have to get a copy of your book and read it, Doug. I'm very interested now to do so. But I broke all the rules. I looked at authors, especially women authors and women voices that were really speaking to me. And I said, what is it about those books that grab me and pull me in and make me want to not stop reading?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to do. And so the first part of the book is, part one is a call to action. It just sets up the whole context for the Show Up Positive movement, why it matters, what it is, what it isn't, and tells, I picked one client story. And at the end of every chapter, I tell you a little more of that client story. And it sort of follows the track of the book that yeah. sort of shows, like, here's the thinking and here's what happens in action. And that's how it sets you up for the next part and how that got us here and got us there to the ultimate result. The second part of the book is 50 Show Up Positive Sparks. And I actually sat down one day, it might have taken me 2 days, and I just started brainstorming and using Google to identify as many actions, beliefs, or characteristics that I saw as positive in a workplace culture. And I came up with over 300.
Wow.
And I picked 50 to put into this first book. And the idea is the micro habit idea, the tiny habit idea. It's not that you just wholesale reinvent yourself overnight. It is that the path to becoming this person who has these awesome days, day after day after day, is that you start shaping the pattern of thinking that drives the pattern of behavior, and you do it one little stepping stone at a time. So I picked 50 words because most people work 50 weeks out of the year. I know in Europe, you guys take a lot more vacation than we take in the US.
Yeah.
But in the US, a lot of people struggle to just use up 2 weeks of their vacation, regardless of how much that they have or they did before the pandemic. So, average when you take holidays, it's 50 weeks, I figure is a good number. And the idea is then that just pick one thing to work on for the week.
Yeah.
So I give you a word like applause. You'll like this one, Doug. So I give you a word like applause. And I define it for you. And then I start talking about what would it mean to have applause be part of the culture in your workplace. And I, draw parallels to how performers, artists, especially musicians, mm-hmm. comedians, other kinds of performers, when they take the stage, what do, Doug?
We clap.
We clap. Why do we clap?
Because we want to show some appreciation for the work that we're about to receive and to thank them for the stuff that they've done.
Yeah. So it's, all they did was show up to do their job, which you're paying them to do, right? You bought a ticket to pay them to do. But why do we think it's crazy in the workplace that we would applaud people for showing up at work?
It's an alien concept. It's even more alien if you bring it over to the stiff upper lip Brits. We'd have a real, real trouble with that one. But
why wouldn't we applaud in anticipation of what people were going to do? I mean, we do it in this one context.
Yes.
Right? Without hesitation. And furthermore, what do we do at the end of the concert or the end of the performance?
Yeah, we applaud and stand up invariably.
And why do we do that, Doug?
To thank them for the work that they've done that we paid the ticket for and for them to do their job, which is to entertain us. And we've applauded them for it. Yeah, I see.
And oh my goodness. A lot of times we're hoping to get more, right? A lot of times a really strong resonant round of applause at the end of a performance with an artist will get you an encore.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So instead of the concert ending at 50 minutes, you get another 15 or 20 minutes. You get two or three, four more songs, right?
Yeah.
I heard one time that Paul McCartney did like a 1 hour encore at a show or something crazy, right? But why would that same thing not translate in the workplace? If we were applauding people for a job well done, why do we not think that would encourage an encore performance?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right there.
Right. So these are the ideas. There's 50 of those that I frame up at the end of the book. And the idea is really you just work at one at any pace that works for you.
Yeah.
Right. But then you also, when you're having that really bad day, you can go to the index or just flip through the book and find the word that speaks to you, that stops you in the track, and you read through it and you say, deep breath. Okay. The rest of this day is going to be better because I'm going to practice whatever this is that you pick out of the book.
Yeah. It's a blueprint for a better life.
Yeah. It's just, it's just a way of working on the mindset, working on the behavior. And so the intention that I have in the book is that people set this goal for themselves, right? That they are going to use their agency, the way they show up every day, to influence and positively change things to be the way they want. That they're going to be the coworker that they want to have around them. They're going to show people what that would look like so that people have an idea that they can mimic and that they can join in.
Yes.
And with that goal in mind, then, we're just going to practice little tiny things. And some of those things are going to work marvelously, like beyond your wildest imagination. And some of them are just going to be like,
okay.
And it's okay. It's
an improvement.
Progress.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Right. Well, I just looked at the time and this has flown by. I like to get things succinct so that, you know, people get, you know, the buzz. But I'm going to ask for one Rita nugget. So something the world needs to know about goals and goal setting that we've not already covered. The whole world needs to know this. This is the thing as far as you're concerned, Rita.
I feel like the biggest thing I've already said, am I allowed to say it again so people don't forget it?
Okay. We'll cut you that slack because I know what's going on. You see, in the back of your brain, right? You're still thinking, ooh, you want something. So yeah, reiterate and then we'll go to the real one.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say you've got to have connection. It's got to have meaning to you. You cannot set goals because your parents want you to have those goals, because your boss wants you to have those goals, because you think somebody that you want to be would have those goals.
Yeah.
They've right?
got to be yours.
They need to really have meaning for you. If you want to have traction, if you want to see real impact, then, you know, it's head forward hands. That would be the new things right here. Like, it's got to make sense here. It's got to make sense here. And then you will have this sustained energy to bring it to fruition.
There we go. See, we got the nugget. Head, heart, hands. There we go. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for bringing some science into this goal-setting malarkey that we have.
I don't think it's malarkey this conversation. And I think you and I could talk for an hour or more
This
topic. So I appreciate you reining me in here, Doug.
Well, no, it just means
right
that
on track.
We'll just have to have a repeat sometime soon and we'll see how close you get to your million people. Okay. But Rita, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And you're right. We could just talk for hours and hours and hours. Just so connected, I think. I think we're so connected there. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Doug. And thank you for introducing me and my book, Show Up Positive, to your listeners.
Thank you for listening to Goals Do Come True. I'm Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. Please remember to subscribe and review on Apple, Google, or Spotify. Visit dougbennett.co.uk for the latest on transforming your life through goals. Happy goal setting. Until next time.